The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns playoff roundtable brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. Burns and Gambo talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals.
Kicking it roundtable style, Greg Esposito from the Suns Solar Panel Podcast. And if you're a Suns fan, you know who Greg Esposito is on social media during games. Formerly an employee here, I might add, as well as with the Suns, I might add. Jude LaCav, of course, you know him, forever TV personality with Fox 10, Channel 10, now retired. And, of course, me and Gambo kicking it around here. We are 3 hours away from game time. And I'm telling you, if you're sitting at work right now or sitting at home looking at the clock, just going, come on, let's go. Let's get here. TikTok, come on, move. We're with you. We've all got this nervous kind of anticipatory energy that you can just sort of feel around here. We're with you, and hopefully we're giving you something to do to pass the time until the game starts in 3 hours from right now. Gambo, let's go back to what you said a second ago.
Yeah.
The opportunity that is in front of Devin Booker at the age of 24. Obviously, there's a lot more that has to happen for him to get there. But to win a title, if it were to happen, that is as good.
He leaps a lot of guys.
He leaps a lot of guys, doesn't he?
Look, I mean, Barkley was here for a short time, and he's considered one of the greatest players that ever played for the Suns. He took them to the NBA Finals. You know, there's Steve Nash, who won two. Steve Nash spent 10 years in the Suns uniform. The first two, and then eight more. He was here for 10 years. He's got longevity, two MVPs, never made it to the NBA Finals. When you go back to the old Suns teams that you know that you and Jude know a lot more than I do, and you've got Walter Davis, and you got the Hawk, and you got some of those great players, you know, then it becomes, you know, you start to compare Devin Booker to those guys. He obviously needs more time, more accolades, more great things have to happen. I'm just saying that he's on that. I could look at him at 24 years old and say he's on the path to being perhaps the best Suns player of all time.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Given,
a lot of things have to happen, but he's heading in that direction.
Given the love that this town, the city, has always had for the Phoenix Suns, and Jude, I'll start with you on this one. The notion of I was the guy who brought this organization their first championship, or I was one of the guys who brought this organization there, that would carry a lot of weight for longtime Suns fans like you, me, and I'll throw Espo in there, even though he's a little younger. He goes way back, too, in terms of how we rank guys, how we think of guys. You're on a team that wins a title with the Phoenix Suns. That's going to give you a lot of cred when it comes to the fans in this town.
You win a title, you get a statue. I mean, I think what's been impressive for the most part, though, is that letting your executives, as John alluded to earlier, do their jobs and let Monty Williams, who's created that winning culture, that's what's been so impressive. It's really been an extension of Monty Williams and the addition of James Jones and Bauer and how this team has come together, because that mix of veterans like a Paul, like a Crowder, has created, okay, this is how we do it. You know, I learned so much from the late, great Paul Westphal. It is a game of matchups. And to me, if I look at the matchups in this series, without Kawhi Leonard, and I don't even know if he is going to come back this series, it favors the Phoenix Suns. I don't know how, you know, they shoot better, they play better defense. You know, for the most part, I just think that this team is a lot closer than people think. Is it a surprise after waiting 11 years? For sure. And that's where the fervor comes from. People are hungry. They're thirsty. They're dying to see this team advance to a finals again. And they're not that far away from it.
Yeah. Booker, historically, Espo, how do you contextualize it?
Well, if you win a title, you move to the top of the list. I mean, that's just, it's plain and simple to me. You win a title here in Phoenix and you're the guy on that team, you move to the top of the list. That's part of Barkley's lure, was coming in here and taking to the finals right away. People forget he was only here 4 years. It wasn't a real long stay in Phoenix, and some of that was injury prone. But that whole, the mythos of that first year he was here and what it meant to Suns fans keeps him towards the top of that
and
list.
And I always thought that he rooted against the Nash teams. I swear. I thought he rooted against the Nash teams because he didn't want them to win a championship because it would have catapulted them ahead of him.
But okay,
I truly believe that.
You might be onto something. I don't get that sense from Chuck at all as it relates to this
team. Not now, because they play the game the right way.
He likes this team. He wants this team to the point where I think he's uncomfortable picking them to win, picking them to lose, because he didn't want to put the whammy on them, right? He doesn't want to jinx them in any way.
Well, yeah, and he's done that pretty well with a bunch of teams he's picked in this class. But if you look at it, he's not high on the all-time statistics list for the Suns. You know, he's in some of those lists, but he's not towards the top. But his spot is solidified. He will always be one of the great Suns. But if Devin Booker wins a championship, he moves past him. If he doesn't, what he has to do is it's longevity and it's health, right? Because KJ had a brilliant career here, but had health issues and wasn't on the court enough. Walter Davis, he was a great scorer. Obviously, some questionable things at the end of his time here that cloud some of that legacy. If Devin Booker stays healthy, continues to play the way he has, he will be not only viewed as one of the best Suns, but be at the top of a lot of these statistical categories. He's already 10th in field goals made, and he's already third in three-point field goals made in Suns franchise history. So as long as he's healthy and plays at a similar level, he'll be there, championship or not. But if he wins one this year, he'll be there already.
Yeah, a story we were going to talk about a little later, Gambo, and we'll just kind of do a sneak peek of it right now, is our buddy Kevin Pelton with ESPN talked about Devin Booker and, you know, this idea that he was an empty stat guy, how accurate that was, and sort of the changes that have gone on with him and the changes that have gone on around him to allow this to happen, to allow this to be the version of
Devin
Booker.
Well, you just don't get the respect nationally when you're on a team. You know, you score a lot of points, you win 22 basketball games. You're just not going to get respect from anybody. And it was always the thought, you know, can he carry a team by himself? Look, there were basketball's not set up the way it was in the past. Dominique Wilkins was one of the greatest players that in my generation, and he could carry a team to the playoffs, but he couldn't get him any further than that. They didn't win a championship. Remember how good Dominique Wilkins was,
Jude? Great player.
I think he was a great player, but he had no talent on the Hawks. And I felt in many ways that Devin Booker was the Dominique Wilkins of the Suns, except they didn't win. But I'm telling you, you go back over the last 10 years, and Espo, you know this. You look at those rosters, man, half the guys he played with should have never been in the NBA. Should have never been in the NBA. I mean, go back to last year's roster right before the bubble. I mean, there's 6-7 guys that they had on their roster. These guys weren't any. He played with so many players that were no good. So it was very difficult to have 35 wins in a season when he was a standalone talent for many of those years.
Jude, in terms of how we perceive Devin Booker, how much does it matter that he is a guy who, despite all of the speculation he would want out, ask out, would demand this, never did, never complained, never said a bad word about anything. How, as a longtime, forever follower of the Suns, how much does that mean to all of us that he never played any of those cards?
I think it's a great reflection of his dad and how he mentored him. You know, he was a great player at Missouri, but I think it's a reflection of his dad and just how he was raised around basketball. He's a humble guy in a lot of ways, and he's a guy that just lets his game speak for itself. And that's to me is the greatest thing you can do as a player. Let me just show you how I can produce 40, 13, and 10. Need I say more? I mean, it is that simple. He lets his game speak for itself, and that's the strongest statement you can make for any NBA player, whether you're Kevin Durant, whether you're Charles Barkley. It's about what you bring to the table and what you bring to the team. And I think I'll keep going back to allowing these guys to do their job, and the mix of veterans that have exposed this young team to this is how it's done. You know, Jay Crowder, Chris Paul. This to me is absolutely the most invaluable part of what's transformed the Phoenix Suns to this day.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, Espo, where Devin Booker is, where this organization is without that influence from a Chris Paul, from a Jay Crowder, from the leadership of James Jones. You know, we're clearly somewhere further down the line, you know, in terms of their evolution as an organization, but we're not this far down the line, evolutionary speaking. We're not where we are right now.
Certainly not. I actually wonder where Devin Booker would be if it weren't for the first 5 years of his career, right? I don't know if we have any Breaking Bad fans here, but Walter White, right, starts as a very meek guy and through the years kind of gets beaten and toughened up by the bad things that happen, right, to the point where he gets to that where he says, I'm the one who knocks. That's the point Devin Booker's at. He's saying, I'm the one who knocks, right? I'm the guy that's going to come in here and take care of business with this team. And Chris Paul has shown him the way, the professionalism, the way you carry yourself, the way you work.
But remember, Booker was unlike a lot of the other draft picks. He had to earn his spot.
Yep.
You had Bledsoe and you had Brandon Knight. He didn't start in his when he was a rookie first-round draft pick. He didn't start early. He only started because of the injury.
He had a bunch of injuries that
to Brandon year. Knight. He had to earn his spot. Marquese Chris, you start. Dragan Bender, you start. Josh Jackson, you start. The biggest mistake the Suns made was they didn't make anybody earn anything. All these young kids came in, and they just automatically got pushed into the starting lineup. That didn't help their development.
All right, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, Greg Esposito, Jude LaCava, part of our roundtable here for a couple of more segments. So don't go anywhere. We're going to turn our attention back to this series and this game tonight. Paul George did his very best in Game 1 for the Clippers. Who on that roster is going to step up to help him starting this evening? We'll talk about it next, 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Jude LaCava, forever sports anchor at Channel 10, recently retired, but never far away from the Phoenix
sports former KTAR radio guy.
That's right.
Let's not forget
the old sports line from 89 to 93.
It was an honor for me in my career to be able to say I hosted the same show as Jude LaCava, that I actually turned the lights off on the 620 sports line on my way out the door, show that you hosted, heck, saw Hamilton, Brad Sesmat.
Yeah. Yeah,
that I was able to put my name on that on that plaque, on that trophy, will always be one of the highlights of my career that I was able to do that. Greg Esposito used to work here. He's got such a digital presence when it comes to the Phoenix Suns. If you're on social media, if you're listening to the Solar podcast, the Suns Solar podcast, anybody who's a Suns fan knows that Greg Esposito is one of the most dialed in digital voices when it comes to this organization. And of course, being Gambo, we're here just talking about the Suns and this game coming up tonight, this game 2 against the LA Clippers, with the Suns having a 1-0 lead. Jude, I'll start with you on this one. We already had a little conversation about adjustments. You mentioned Kawhi Leonard. There's been no indication whatsoever from anybody that Kawhi's return is imminent. In fact, you'd get most people who would suggest that the belief is that he won't be back at any time in this series. Who on that Clippers roster is going to step up to help Paul George? Because that's what allowed them to get here to a certain extent, is that role players who don't normally play like that played like that. Is that something you worry about being on the horizon for the Clippers?
Well, you've got to look at Paul George, of course, who just, you know, you realize just how good and talented he is. He's a 6'9 player that can shoot the three. Reggie Jackson has to have an exceptional series or they're going down. And again, I'll keep saying this, if you decide to double Devin Booker, he'll find the open man. He's got enough experience at the point to distribute. So you have a host of problems if you're Ty Lue. And again, I'll keep going back to defensive integrity, shooting percentage, and to me, unless this team is just devastated on the boards, and that to me is if you look back to when they lost to the Spurs, they got hammered on the boards, you've got to look at this situation and say, I don't see how they can't win this series. I mean, I look at it and say, in fact, I mean, I'd be venture to say that they could take care of business within 5 or 6 games. I know that sounds overconfident. You never want to create that tone. But if the Clippers don't win tonight and at least split here, and then it goes back to L.A., they got problems.
Yeah, it does, Espo, have Gambo and I were talking about this earlier. A must-win kind of feel for the Clippers. I don't know how many more rabbits they have to pull out of that 0-2 hat that they've already done
twice. Can't keep doing that.
It just doesn't seem like they can sustain that.
Not unless Kawhi's on his way back and we don't know it. I think there's no benefit to them to give a real update on Kawhi because it keeps a team on its heels in the Suns not knowing if he's coming back or not. But when you look at it, it's got to be the Terrence Manns of the world, the Marcus Morrises, the Reggie Jacksons that step up and actually help win it for Paul George. He's not going to be able to do it by himself. And that's why, you know, I think there is the confidence in this Suns team, which as a longtime fan and person who's covered this team, makes you a little nervous because that's usually when things
get a little sideways.
But
yeah.
this year it feels different in so many ways. Even in those moments where it felt like it get sideways, get a little squirrely, it hasn't, and they've recovered from it. And I think it's they have the right mentality. They're an irritant in it of a team in ways that usually the Spurs or other teams that they faced were.
Look, it was a tie game in the third quarter. There were 20 lead changes, 13 ties, so they played really well throughout that game. You almost feel like the Sun, for the Clippers to win games, the Suns are going to have to play poorly. And almost the Suns are going to have to miss their three-point shots, going to have an off game from, you know, either Booker or Ayton. You just feel that's how I feel. I feel like it's more about what the Suns can do. Now, I could sit there and say, yeah, you got to get more out of Marcus Morris. You got to get more out of Batum and Terrence Mann and Luke Kennard. I mean, Marcus Morris had games of 24 and 25 against the Jazz. He scored 6 points in the last game. Luke Kennard, 6 points. Batum, 16 points on Friday against the Jazz. He had 5 points. Terrence Mann had 39 his last game in that series. He had 9. So I could say it's the role players. But I almost think for the Clippers to win games, I mean, it's, you know, if the Clippers do win a game, I think we'll be in here talking about what the Suns didn't do more than what the Clippers did do.
Yeah, especially when the Suns are scoring 120 points. You start talking about their role players versus the Suns' role players, Jude, and you just almost like side by side on a piece of paper how they match up in terms of their ability to contribute. And it just feels like the clip, to your point, like the Clippers just don't have enough when compared to the number of different ways the Phoenix Suns can win a basketball game. Because it's not just Devin Booker going for a triple-double. There are a lot of ways that this team is built to win basketball games. And I don't know if the Clippers have as many paths to victory as the Suns do.
I would agree. And let's look at what happened in that first game. They tried to double Devin Booker. Then the Clippers actually went to try a little bit of zone. The bottom line is there's just if you get out in transition – And it's kind of the old Cotton Fitzsimmons model where you say, let me get some of those cheap buckets. Let me get 8, 10, 12 points on quick transition buckets. Then you extend your lead. But the bottom line is I don't know how many bullets in the gun Ty Lue actually has because they don't have the extended depth. They're somewhat limited off the bench. Unless a Terrence Mann goes off and has 39, like you said, you know, there's always an X factor on who's going to step up in the clutch. But I don't think they have the personnel. I don't think they have the depth off the bench.
And Espo, that's been a real theme this postseason. And not just for the teams the Suns have played, but really across the broad canvas of the NBA. It seems like every single team that has been bounced so far, with maybe the exception of the New York Knicks, and I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head, kind of just eventually hit that wall where you say, that's just about as far as you're going to be able to take this. Hey, the Nets, you don't have Kyrie, Harden's out there with half a hamstring. That's about as far as you're going to be able to go. The Nuggets, the Lakers.
Knew the Nuggets weren't going past round one.
You just know there's a wall you're going to hit. And to Jude's point, it looks like the Clippers, potentially, depending on what happens tonight. I mean, the Clippers are the best team the Suns have played this postseason so far. There's no question about that. It does seem like they're awfully close to hitting that, man, we've gone about as far as we can go kind of wall here.
Well, certainly, and it's why James Jones, this whole thought here is why James Jones is executive of the year, because he built a deep team. He built a team that could withstand those kind of things, and we're seeing it right now. You're seeing Campaign step up and fill in for CP3. You've seen it throughout the year that guys have stepped up in times when they need them. Frank Kaminsky, Etuan Moore, Langston Galloway. And it doesn't matter whether they've played a lot of minutes or not. The Suns have that depth. The Clippers don't have it. Denver didn't have it. And this is the toughest team, and I think the toughest defense that the Clippers have faced in this playoffs. And I don't think the defense gets enough credit as to why they likely will win this series, is because I don't see a Terrence Mann finding a way to go off against the Suns defense. I don't see maybe Reggie Jackson because he's been good all year, but I don't see a way Marcus Morris is getting off against the Suns defense. They find ways to shut down these guys.
3 through 11, Gambo. We've been talking about it all season long with James Jones.
How he built
this roster.
Yeah, James never wanted to go after stars. You know, they walked into Chris Paul, but that was an aging star, right, with a huge contract. But they never cheated. He's not a star chaser. I don't think he ever will be. He's a depth guy. He's about, listen, we're going to have a better 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 than you guys. And all of a sudden he went out there and you look, I think that they have one of the best benches in the league. I mean, Campaign could start on some teams in this league. He could start on some teams, but he's one of the best backup point guards in the entire NBA. Where did they get him? Off the scrap heap. Torrey Craig, you kidding me? They paid cash for Torrey Craig. He's been a godsend for them. He's been terrific. I think James Jones' ability to find these guys that, you know, that nobody else wanted that could come in here and contribute the way they do has been remarkable.
Yeah. When we come back, our roundtable continues with Jude LaCava, Greg Esposito, John Gambadoro, me, Dave Burns. The Phoenix Suns, if you can believe it, are being looked at by many as the favorites now to win it all. What shortcomings, if any, do they have that need to be addressed? We'll talk about that coming up on our roundtable here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns' run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Playoff Roundtable, brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. Burns and Gambo talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals.
All right, since they were nice enough to come down here free of charge, Jude normally charges exorbitant rates for his time.
Wait, but back in the day, didn't we used to go on everybody else's show for free 20 years ago, 30 years ago?
Yeah, back in the day.
That's true.
Everybody.
I used to wear out a path from my house to Channel 12 because I was there. Since they're down here for free, I want to give them a chance to plug themselves for a moment. Greg Esposito, and it's the Sun Solar Panel Podcast. You can follow it on Twitter, at Sun Solar Panel. It's you, Saul Bookman, and Dave King from Bright Side of the Sun, right? And they can follow you individually at Espo, E-S-P-O.
Made it real easy.
Congratulations on getting in on that one. I'm sure there are a lot of people who wanted that Twitter. How much did you pay for that?
I didn't pay a dime. It was just one of the benefits of working in the NBA and knowing a handful of the people at Twitter. So the one real benefit, you know, I got out of it. I walked away with that. So, but yeah, we do that every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Live on YouTube. You can listen to it wherever you get podcasts. We're also doing episodes when the games wrap up during the playoffs as well. Having a great time with it, and it's been fun to stay connected to the fans, even though I'm working the corporate world now.
Fantastic. Available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. And then Jude, you what are you doing now that you're no longer in the media?
We started a foundation named after my mom, who lost her battle to breast cancer back in 76, and we're working on some things that we hope will change the landscape of cancer. I don't know if you guys remember a guy by the name of Tom Kervers, who was a scout with the Coyotes.
He just died.
He just passed away.
Yep.
Lung cancer. Here's a guy, world-class athlete, Hobey Baker Award winner, loses his life to lung cancer, of all things. So we're very well entrenched with the help of Arizona State University and Dr. Josh LeBaire, who did a tremendous job in the fight against COVID, trying to find answers for more effective treatments, less toxic treatments, and better results for each and every cancer patient. So that's really been, you know, trying to give back and trying to do it, make a difference in that world, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Good stuff. Well, again, thanks, guys, for coming down here. This is our last segment together. Gambo and I will still be on until 5:30 before we turn it over to the network pregame show. So let's go out with a doozy here. Gambo, if I say to you, the Phoenix Suns are viewed in the NBA community as the favorite to win the NBA championship right now here today, what would be your reaction?
I told you
to that?
When I left that building after game one, knowing after watching the Nets lose to the Bucks, knowing that they won game one, it was the first time in these playoffs I walked out of it, I said, they're going to win this damn thing. I've always thought they could win it. This is the first time I believed they were going to win it. It took the Nets losing, so no Harden, Durant, and Kyrie. And it took them beating the Clippers and realizing, man, Kawhi's not coming back anytime soon, where I finally, for the first time, I said, I think they're going to win this thing.
There have been moments throughout the timeline of the Phoenix Suns, and I'm so glad we got Jude and Espo here because they know the timeline better than anybody when it comes to the Phoenix Suns and their history of this. If this isn't the closest they've been to a title, is this the second closest they've been to a title? Third closest they've been to a title? Where in terms of all of the missed opportunities, where I know going to the NBA finals, you are inherently closer, like they were in 76 or whether they in 93, but with no Michael Jordan in their way, with no Celtics dynasty in their way, like in the mid 70s, is this the closest this organization has ever been to a title? Jude, I'll start with you on that one.
I would say so. It's kind of remarkable. Just think about what you just said. I mean, this could be their year of all years. I mean, are you kidding me? 2021, maybe they win this thing, but let's not forget, you know, what's on the other side of the equation. I mean, if no Sixers, but the Milwaukee Bucks are a talented team. It's so tough to stay focused, and it's still a relatively young team. But if I look at Milwaukee and Atlanta, I think Milwaukee's going to do a number. I still like the Bucks. I think they're well coached. You've got Giannis. But if there's ever an opportunity for this Phoenix Suns team to win a title, this truly is it.
Dante DiVincenzo, a starting guard for Milwaukee, out for the playoff. He's done.
Yes.
That's another injury.
I thought you were going with the Italian angle.
He's their starting guard, and he's out for the playoffs. So just when you go with the injury factor, like Milwaukee has lost a key player off their roster.
There is another one. Espo, for you, where is this one in terms of its closeness to completion?
I think this is the clearest path we've ever seen where you can go, okay, if I jump a step or two ahead, I see them hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy. And that's, of course, it took a 100-year pandemic for us to somehow get here, right? That doesn't surprise me in any way. But one thing I want to give credit to is the fans, right? The team fought real hard to get this second seed in the West and second seed overall in the NBA. And the fans have stepped up once they've been allowed back in the building to make that worth something. Because if this were a year with no fans in the building, it's great that you get to sleep in your own bed and all that, but you're not getting a huge advantage. But now that you have home court and you will the remainder of these playoffs, that's huge what this fan base has been able to do. And you can feel that 11 years of pent-up frustration and excitement that's coming out in each of these games. It's been unbelievable. And I'm so glad that the national stage is taking a note of it as well, that they're recognizing this fan base, because Phoenix takes a lot of heat for not being a quote-unquote sports town or whatever people want to say about it. But they've come through with their first love in this Phoenix Suns team in huge ways in this playoffs. And I couldn't be prouder to call myself a member of it.
Smile when you use that phrase, because, Gambo, you know that's the phrase I use all the time when talking about the Phoenix Suns. They're my first love. I mean, back from when I was a four-year-old boy.
Whether you love them more than your wife. It was a question. I don't know if it's true or not.
I've actually told my wife, they're my first love. I love you more right now, but they're my first, so if they need something.
They are truly the first thing I ever remember loving. I mean, I mean, other than maybe my parents, they're the first thing I ever remember. But Espo's right in that I would never want to go through that 11-year hell that we all went through to get to this point. But it's obvious it's made this fan base appreciate what it's like having a great Suns basketball team. And the response, we've been in that building, you and I, Gambo, a couple times together, two or three times. We're both going to be there tonight, as a matter of fact. It's been incredible watching the reaction in that building.
The fans have been amazing. I mean, the place is rocking. It's just so loud. I mean, they did an amazing job at the building, too, a completely renovated building. I mean, it's just the building looks great. It's about 1,000 less seats, too, by the way, with the renovation, about 1,000 less seats. But it doesn't sound it, because those fans from the get-go, man, they are loud. And, you know, it played a factor. I think it definitely played a factor, you know, in the Lakers series. I think in the Nuggets series, I think, you know, that crowd overwhelms you once the Suns go on a run, and these other, it's just so loud in there. When the Suns go on a run, it affects the other team. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It affects the other team.
And to think, to Espo's point, Jude, that home court advantage, that the Suns are now it, right? I mean, they've got the top seed from here on out. That is a weapon in your arsenal if you're the Suns that you can deploy.
Absolutely, positively. I really think that if all goes well tonight and they can get up 2-0, they could take care of business within 5 or 6 games. I'm that.
That's good, because then I won't miss any game. I am off to Italy in a week. If they could do it in 5, I'll be back in time for the game 1 of the NBA Finals. I will not miss any games. Jude, right. You know.
So you hear that, James? You hear that, Monty? Do it for Gambo.
The pressure's on.
Do it for Gambo, so that it's all about him. Make sure he doesn't miss any games at all. Guys, it was great to see you both. Thank you for accepting the invitation down here. Let's do this again.
You got it, man.
We've got roundtables on the day of the game from here on out, and that could mean an extended stay through the middle of July. So as long as no one's traveling anytime soon, y'all come back. Yeah?
Anytime you ask, I'm here.
You got it, Dave. All right. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for...
Jude LaCava, you got it.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, it's good
Thanks
to see
for
you
coming
guys.
In.
Jude LaCava, retired sports anchor from Channel 10.
The legend.
Esposito. Right. At Espo on Twitter. The Suns Solar Panel podcast as well. Thank you guys for coming in. We appreciate it for our roundtable. When we come back here on the Burns and Gambo show, We'll keep our attention on the Suns. They're going to be represented in Tokyo on the Team USA roster. Are there benefits the Suns could reap from that? We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
I do want to mention this real quick, as the Suns just tweeted this out, and our own Kellen Olson, Suns reporter, Suns nerd for ArizonaSports.com, confirms this even this early before the game. The Phoenix Suns tweeted out, "It is a work day. There is traffic. It is busy downtown. We suggest you leave early."
Okay.
Kellen Olson just tweeted, "Can confirm, even this early, get on over here."
Okay. See you guys later.
Oh, really?
I got to get there.
I'm going too. So what?
Jordan, Sarah, man the forts.
All right.
Let's go.
I don't think his headphones are even on right now.
I don't think Jordan's not paying
attention. Oh, yeah.
He's busy, like,
Jordan's
producing a show.
Jordan's not paying attention to a word we're saying.
Suns are putting it out there. You need to leave early for the game. So,
Jordan, it's the Bird and Cazell show.
Me and Burns, you got to go.
Than any other day.
Hey!
Oh,
he said it.
Man.
I got it.
Baby. There it is. That's good stuff. It's actually not true, but that's good. That's nice. Yeah, get on down there if you can. I'm looking at pictures from Kellen's Twitter feed. It is the Purple Palace. Every single chair has a purple towel. Oh, a towel or a t-shirt, I can't tell, draped over it right now.
The building
looks beautiful. So get down there as soon as you possibly can, because it's going to be busy down there. Let's talk about this Olympic story for a minute, because it's interesting. Chris Paul, there was a report this morning from Sham Sharania that Chris Paul was going to go to the Olympics. That report has since been in dispute in a very rare NBA insider on NBA insider crime by Adrian Wojnarowski, who tweeted out that Chris Paul has declined an invitation to play for Team USA in the Summer Olympics, and that USA Basketball has known that Paul was trending toward this decision for several days. If the Suns reach the NBA Finals, he writes, there would be virtually no break before the end of the NBA season and the start of the July Olympics in Tokyo.
Yeah, listen, I'm so happy for Devin Booker that he's playing in the Olympics, okay? He's 24 years old. Chris Paul's 36 years old. I'm happy he's not playing in the Olympics. Does it make sense?
Totally.
I want one guy to play. He's 24. He's young. He'll recover. He'll be okay. Chris Paul, he's 36. I'd rather have him get rest. I prefer. Now, if anybody's injured, I don't go, right? Like Booker at the All-Star game. I love the fact that he decided not to push that and go be there. That he said, I'm going to take these days off. I think that's been beneficial to him. But as far as Team USA is concerned, really happy for Devin Booker. He gets to be a part of a Olympic basketball, very likely going to win a gold medal because they always do. And for Chris Paul, yeah, listen, it's been a long season.
Yeah.
You've had a shoulder injury. You've had COVID. You're older. Man, you could use that rest. So I think it's a good thing that Chris Paul is not going to play for Team USA.
I share that sentiment. I got to admit, when I saw the Sham Sharania tweet this morning, I really didn't see the benefit to Chris Paul going. He's got two gold medals already, and I'm sure he would love to continue to represent his country. And I'm assuming the Woj report is correct. No disrespect to Shams on this one. I'm assuming Woj is correct in that he's not going to go. I'm relieved that he's not going. I just think that's too much. I mean, the NBA Finals potentially could wrap up, I believe, on July 22nd. I think the first game Team USA would play is like July 25th.
I think it is, right, Sarah? The 25th is the preliminary game?
Yeah, against France that day.
So if the NBA Finals goes 7, you're not even going to have time to get over the jet lag of
going
to Tokyo.
Listen, it's France. You could win with Cliff Paul, okay? Cliff could play. They'll win.
But yeah, that turnaround is nuts.
You have no respect for Boris Diaw and Tony Bulgari. Hey. That is the best French accent I can do on a whim like this.
You guys can't see this at home, but he's
like
rolling his mustache right now.
Sounds like that. What was that cartoon guy? Pepe Le Pew?
Pepe Le Pew. Yeah.
That's who he sounds like.
Every time I do my French impersonation, I think of Pepe Le Pew. And I twirl my mustache when I think of it.
That impression is skunk. You're right.
It is skunk. It smells really, really bad. So let's get away from that. Let's get you ready for Diamondbacks baseball coming up tonight.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck. Brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Cheesecake Blasts. For a limited time, only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
Our local nightmare is over. The 17-game losing streak has come to an end.
There's still that road losing streak. Well, don't forget about that.
Well, but we'll worry about that when they're on the road. They're not there yet. They're at home taking on the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. And your pitching matchup brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's B-U-R-G, Simpson.com. Good lawyers changing lives. Zach Gallen, 1-2, 3.99 ERA against Freddie Peralta, 6-2 with a 2.28 ERA.
Yeah, Gallen is, this will be his second start since coming back. He's had two delays in this season. Did not pitch very well in that first outing and looking to get back on track. He's still the ace of this staff. Now, Peralta's been a good pitcher for the Brewers. He's done a nice job for them, so you've got a good pitching matchup here, but very much looking forward to seeing Zach Gallen back, getting back on track after a rough first outing in his comeback.
Yeah, Torey Lovullo, by the way, for what it's worth, was wearing a Phoenix Suns Rally the Valley t-shirt today during a Zoom pregame press conference.
That's right. Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. So, losing streak over, and obviously it's not going to change much in the standings for the Arizona Diamondbacks as we take a look at the standings. Brought to you by PNC Bank, financial tools and tech to help make things easier. The San Francisco Giants. In fact, I'm looking at the National League overall standings
and
right now.
Giants.
The three best records in the NL, all in the National League West. The Giants are 46-26. The Dodgers are two games back. The San Diego Padres, who have won five straight, are 4.5 back of the San Francisco. Those are your three top teams.
Yeah, you know,
in
we
the
expected
NL.
The Padres and the Dodgers to battle it out. The Giants are literally like a bat out of hell, man. They've come out of nowhere to be this good. You know, watching them play, it's just been very surprising. The Giants were supposed to be, you know, a middle of the pack to below average team, and they've been one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, got to get your keys to tonight's game. Let's do it.
Listen, man, I'm you.
I am the key master.
D-backs keys to the game brought to you by Sell to Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to selltosands.com today.
Well, you got to have that moment. You got to carry that momentum over from that win and try to make it two in a row. But one of the things I'm looking at, man, the Brewers have the worst batting average in baseball at .212. They have the second worst OPS in baseball at .665. They have the fourth worst strikeout rate at 26.1%. This is tailor-made for Zach Gallen, man. This is Zach Gallen's game right here going up against an offense that is really, really struggling.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the NBA draft lottery just a few hours away as the lead-in to Western Conference Finals Game 2. And the fact that the Suns are hosting a playoff game and we're not counting ping pong balls tonight is the surest sign of progress we can offer to you. That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.